Hi, everybody. This is Christina with Rock on Request Magazine, and I'm here today speaking with Anoop Desai. How are you doing, Anoop?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, believe me. I mean, I'm gonna just get this out there on the table here. Obviously, everyone's gonna remember you for American Idol Season 8, but there's a lot more to you than that, and I want to talk about all of it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's talk about it. I first want to tell you that the first time I saw you, I was actually living in Raleigh during season 8. And
Boy,
yeah,
nice.
I'm telling you, I'm from Southern California, born and raised, and now I'm back here. But at the time, I was in Raleigh, living there for 8 years. And when I saw you, right away, you grabbed my attention for a couple reasons. The purity of your voice just blew me away. And then Boyz II Men definitely is one of my favorites. So when you did your
Yeah.
audition, I was like, okay, this is my guy for this season. That's it.
Well, thank you. And I mean, that was one of my first CDs that I ever got, so it was sort of an easy choice for me.
Oh yeah, I mean, fantastic. And definitely my favorite of Boyz II Men. And we'll talk about that later when we start discussing WTF Wednesdays, because I have a couple requests. So
Okay, all right, sure.
we'll go there. We'll go there. But you have so much more to you than what I think the widespread audience has seen from seeing you on Idol. And when I was reading through your bio, there was just, which I loved, by the way. I read every single word.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You said that the pop music of the 90s has been a real driving force behind your music along the way. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners?
I think pop music in the 90s, I mean, I think everyone will have their era, of music that they love because they grew up listening to it. And the 90s for me are no different. We were talking about Boyz II Men, but the thing I love about 90s pop music is a melody in it. And it can be so evocative and so telling of the time and sort of just the state of, being then. And that melodic structure is actually something that I really have held on to. I mean, I think in the 90s, at least growing up, I was lucky because I had, Boyz II Men 2, Jagged Little Pill, What's the Story, Morning Glory. All those came out at the same time. Chili Peppers, Bush, like
Oh, yeah.
all these bands came out at the same time, and really, that was, I guess, because my parents didn't really listen to popular like American music at the time, and so like that was my entree into, or my introduction into pop music. So I think I'm just, it's a little bit of nostalgia. It's a little bit of there was a very unique melodic characteristic that I think I've tried to hang on to a little bit.
Yeah, I completely feel you on that because I think that was just such a great era of music and lyrically too. I mean, there's just so much going on. So, I get what you're saying and that's what really intrigued me and I can hear that in what you're doing now, which we'll get to in a second. But there was something that took me a little bit by surprise when reading your bio. You talked a lot about some of the stuff you were subjected to and by people who didn't know you, a lot of negativity during and just after Idol. You also shared a lot about your struggles that you went through immediately after. And first of all, kudos to you for putting yourself out there like that and opening up, about everything. And obviously I talked to a lot of musicians who, have told me that it was a lot of the dark times and struggles that inspired some of their best work. Would you say that was the
Yeah,
case with you?
I think for me, it was more of a time to refocus. I think for a lot of that process, you sort of go on autopilot. And being in LA and being thrust into that sort of situation is jarring to say the least. And you kind of stop setting goals. You stop paying attention as much as you should. And so that was the real benefit, you know, seeing the benefit in it. That was a real upside for me. And it did sort of, you know, when I realized that, when all that came to my head, it was just a jump start. And it was the jump start that I needed to get where I am now. I mean, it was, you know, out in LA and, you know, going back and forth, and honestly, it was just lonely. But, you know, that was the thing that inspired me to come back to the East Coast and really start working from square one, you know, not depending on anything that I had been given in the past, and really not being content with the music that I was making. You know, I always tell people that, you know, there's a reason that high school and college is 4 years, and I really think that humans, we need a four-year cycle. I think every 4 years you're learning something different. And, you know, for me, I'm coming off that cycle after Idol now, and so it's really cool to know that, you know, those struggles that I described were my freshman year.
Right.
And now, you know, it's time to graduate with this new stuff.
Well, that's a great attitude and an excellent way to put it, you know, and I guess the only other question I would have about Idol, and we can put that to bed totally, is, do you have any regrets looking back? You know, would you rethink your decision to go on a show like that, like you said, that really sort of thrust you into a spotlight that sometimes you're quickly taken out of? You know what I mean?
No, and you know, I have no regrets about doing it. And the reason is because it put me in the position that I'm in right now. I mean, you know, I won't be as foofy to say, you know, everything happens for a reason, but everything kind of does happen for a reason.
Right, I agree
about it. But and so, you know, I'm fully aware that, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you and in the position to do what I love for a living were I not thrust into that. And you know, regardless of at the time whether it was, you know, whether I did the best that I could do or, you know, any of that, it's, you know, that's all prelude to bigger and better is, you know, is the way that I always look at it. So, and you know, I do have to say, everyone associated with the show and everyone there was nothing but kind and helpful and everything. And I still talk to some of those, you know, guys at 19 and everything, because they're just good people. And to have that, to know that that's what I have to look forward to, that's what I'm getting back to, is gratifying too.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And you know, it's great to have a catalyst, irregardless of what you may go through, I guess, that brings you to a good place in the end. So I'm glad that you had that opportunity, or we may not have been able to have the pleasure of listening to you now. So that's cool. Let's talk about your current work, your current EP, Three Cheers, and where you're at musically now, because it's definitely been a process of getting you there, and it's sort of a different feel. What took you there, and with your collaboration with ADHD? I want to hear all about that.
Well, meeting ADHD was kind of just serendipity. I was taking a tour of a studio space in Atlanta, where I live now, and he was in the back producing some stuff, and you know, just said, "Hey, can I listen to some of this?" And it was crazy. I mean, it was great. And you know, right before that, I was sort of having a different, you know, I was reimagining what I wanted to be as a performer, as a writer, as a musician, because I wasn't really happy. I think, first of all, I wasn't happy with the state of pop music at the time, just in general.
Right.
And I think I recognized myself as being part of that, which I didn't like. it was very average and bubblegum. And the stuff that I was beginning to get into was more electronic, and you know, everything from the ethereal side of it, you know, stuff like James Blake and Act of Child and Fantagram and stuff like that, to the harder stuff. I mean, you know, Skrillex, DJs that are blowing up now. I mean, when Diplo was exclusively Major Lazer and, you know, all that stuff, and it that harder sound.
Yeah.
Feed Me, Bass Nectar.
What about Blackburner? Have you heard those guys?
Yeah. I just, you know, vaguely. It's funny now because there's so many, like, the deeper you get into that world, the harder it is to keep it apart, because I literally, you know, I go on blogs every day and I'm like, oh, that's hot. That's hot. And you just jump around.
Right. I love Active Child, by the way, so I completely feel you on that.
Yeah, and he just came out with a new song that's phenomenal. And, you know, M83 is a big, you know, influence. And so it's just listening to that, you know, I really was reimagining what I wanted to be. And meeting Adam, meeting ADHD, it was a sign that I was going on the right path, because our work together resulted in Three Cheers, which I think is uniquely placed, because it harnesses both of those worlds. You know, it harnesses the melodies and the feel of the '90s pop that we were talking about before, but also, you know, squarely and sort of undeniably influenced by, you know, the music that I love now. And at the end of the day, that's what I really wanted to accomplish, was to make music that I wanted to listen to.
Right.
So it's nice to have released Three Cheers and Love War, which is, you know, the anthem off that record, is I think the best iteration of that, the best expression of what we're trying to get across.
Well, I really enjoyed Love War, and we're going to be sharing that track with our audience as well, so I'm sure they're going to really love it.
Awesome.
Well, I'm really excited about the new direction that you're going in, so I fully expect that, you know, Three Cheers is going to get a lot of notice and a lot of play, and hopefully put you where you want to be in the industry right now.
Well, thank you, and you know, it really was, you know, like we were talking about, it's like as soon as I started doing what I wanted to do as opposed to what I thought other people wanted me to do, you know, this came out. And I think that's why it feels so great to put out that product, is because it really, you know, it's true, you know.
Right, exactly. And it's, I think that's what it takes, though, you know, to sort of,
yeah,
you know, have that. Your switch, it just gets kind of flipped, and you're like, okay, this is where I should have been or where I need to be. And then I think it really shows in everything you do, though, not even just this, you know, your latest EP. And I'll tell you why. This is where we talk about WTF Wednesdays.
Yes.
Love it. Got to tell you, I'm a big fan. If you can tell the listeners real quick what WTF Wednesdays is and when you came up with that.
Sure. It's a weekly YouTube series that I do now, every Wednesday, and how I'm starting it out, you know, the past couple months is essentially to pick a song that I love that, you know, that's on the radio or whatever. And, just imagine it differently. So I'm doing a cover of it, but I'm changing it up in a way to make it better suited to me.
Right, exactly.
I'll do a rough, you know, little track that I'll put together in a little bit, and we'll just take me singing it. And I think in those WTF Wednesdays is where you can really, you know, we're talking about Active Child. That's where you can see that kind of that influence, the James Blake, the Active Child, you know, the really airy,
right?
That whole thing. Because it's fun to reimagine songs like that. You know, the first one I did, we were sort of, you know, honestly, we started doing it because I just wanted to mess around and try that Taylor Swift song, I Knew Your Trouble When You Walked In. Because it was one of those songs, it's like, it's so catchy, but after you listen to it for the, you know, 10 millionth time, you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
I need to do something different with it. So every week, yeah, it's, you know, I'll just try and flip it up a little bit.
Well, that's what I was going to say about sort of where you're at now rolling into the WTF Wednesdays, because you can really see how you love to play with things. Your vocals have just become, they're just so naturally pure and raw. And it comes out in all of the covers you do. And I gotta tell you that your cover of Blue Ocean Floor, it blew me away, and I actually like it so much more than the original. And I think a lot of comments you,
Thanks.
well, yeah, I mean, the comments that you read on your YouTube channel, so many people say the same thing, that they think that your versions are blowing the originals out of the water.
And that's, I mean, that's really cool to hear. I mean, it is. And you know, you, I guess I have to say, you know, that wouldn't, I wouldn't even have the opportunity to do that without the original. So it's hard for me to
Yeah, of
take
course.
that compliment, but it's just fun, you know. I mean, as a musician, I think with everything, it's really part of a bigger picture to me in that, you know, with coming from my background and deciding to do, you know, to be a musician and to be an artist is not what a lot of people think it is. You know, it's we're in an era right now where people, I think, don't understand the business side of a lot of things,
Right.
and that's true across the board, not only in music but in pretty much every industry that we have. You know, there's the product and you see it, but because I think we are so disconnected from our surroundings, a lot of times we don't understand the work that goes into every single thing around us. So for music like that, I really did want people to see, like, okay, you know this song. I know you know this song.
Right.
Let me show you what's different about it. Let me show you why that song is great. Because if you're paying attention to me, you might like this. You know, like it's really just trying to get people to really key in to what makes those songs great. And that's why I always pick songs that I feel like have something more to them, have another level to them that, like, maybe, just maybe, I can sort of hint at, you know?
Right. Well, you, to me, all the ones I've listened to so far, you really definitely accomplish that goal. So,
Thank you.
I'm planning on spreading that channel around as much as I can, because I, for me, for anyone who loves music, it's always great to hear someone, you know, reimagine something like that and do it so well. So, that brings
I
me.
appreciate that, and we just hit we actually just hit 1 million views on that page a couple days ago. So
Oh wow.
it's really exciting that people are, yeah, people are digging it.
Wow, congratulations. That's awesome. That brings me to my request. Are you taking requests at all? Are you listening to people's suggestions?
You know what? The past couple weeks have all been requested songs, so let me hear it.
All right. I actually have two, and you can, you know, see what you think of either. But if you you know that Boys to Men 2 that we were talking about? One of my favorite tracks, if not my favorite track on that record, is "You Know." You familiar with it?
Oh yeah, you can't beat the nine, girl. You know,
Oh
that one.
yeah, absolutely love that song. Love the lyrics. Think it's very deep. I'd be really interested to see what you would do with that. And the only other thing was Maroon 5. Obviously, you've done a cover of theirs before, which I love, "Daylight." But on that same record, they covered "Let's Stay Together."
Oh,
Definitely,
really? Okay.
yeah. I loved their version of it, and I would be interested to see what your version would do, because it's definitely one of my favorite songs of all time.
That is a, I mean, it's a great tune. I mean, all of that, man, when I hear Al Green's voice,
Yeah.
it sort of takes you somewhere else. There's so much, just,
Absolutely.
you know, there's that extra. Those are both great suggestions. Let me see what I can do with those. I'll have to listen to them a little more to see how it, because both so iconic, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
but yeah, no, I will totally work on this, definitely.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm going to be watching your channel, so we'll see how that goes, but I appreciate it. Anything else that you want to let our listeners know that we haven't covered?
No, just to thank them for, you know, their support in advance and to keep their ears open for Love War. We're in the middle of Top 40 radio promotion for it right now, and you know, it's cool DJs are spinning it in the club and radio stations are getting on board, so you know, just spread it and you have my eternal thanks.
Well, that's great. I'm sure that this is gonna get around, trust me. And I'm gonna let you take us out with something I do with everyone, if you dare or if you care. I let everyone ask me a question to take us out of the interview, since you get asked a million. So anything,
okay.
Any topic, doesn't matter. We're not censored. Oh, by the way, speaking of not being censored, your last cover that you did of Arch and Point, just,
yeah.
Damn, that's all I have to say. Okay, go ahead. Do you have a question you want to ask?
Yeah, all right, so you were in Raleigh for a little while. What was your favorite restaurant in that area? Because I'm a huge foodie, so it's always cool to hear other people's opinion on that.
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's a tough one. Excuse me. Tough one for a couple reasons. I have celiac disease, so I get really limited on what I can eat out and about. I'm allergic, can't eat gluten. I'm one of those. So,
okay, all right.
So, but when I first was in Raleigh, I guess I got my first introduction to Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel, yeah.
definitely a chain, but a good place. Gosh, there was an Italian restaurant in Durham. It's killing me. I wish I could remember the name of it.
Italian restaurant.
Sort of.
Ones.
Yeah, it's one of those places that's off the beaten path, and it's, you know, you would never think there was a really cool, authentic restaurant in this particular center, and you go in there, and everybody knows everybody, and the food is authentic. It was really good. Man,
all right, I need to know the name of that spot then.
Okay, I have an easy way to find out, because someone introduced me to that, and I will email that to your publicist, my friend Amanda, and I will let you know, because it's definitely worth sitting down at that place. It's fantastic.
All right, deal.
All right, very cool. You do the covers I suggested. I'll give you the name of the restaurant.
Okay, all right.
Let's strike a deal. Well, thanks so much again, Anute, for taking the time to talk to me, and best of luck with this new EP. I think it's great.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for having me again.
All right, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.